Dr. Clendenning, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. The Michael Versi, how are you today, man?
Dude, I'm feeling strong right now. I'm loving it. I'm loving the topic for the day. I'm liking the flow of everything going here. The topic of today came from an interview I was doing with Jen Zimmerman yesterday, and that's going to be posted on one of the episodes. She's a horizontal leadership expert, and she's kind of woo and college educated at the same time, which is cool. Got some degrees. She's an interesting individual and an interesting professional, especially on her take on leadership. I actually enjoyed it. It was a very good interview. Nice. But I brought up a story that I'm going to bring up again. I was watching, as in my studies, in my self-improvement studies, I was watching musicians. The key thing, if you study self-improvement, is study musicians. And musicians' discipline on being proficient at anything is insane, especially... I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but my particular avenue of interest is guitar players. Because to me, I've tried to play guitar. I am horrible. Granted, I don't practice, but it's like, it sounds like I'd better try to beat a boar over the head with a guitar to try to eat it versus use the guitar for its purpose. Or maybe make up a bow and arrow sideways with the thing. Kirk Hammett is a guitarist for the band Metallica. Band Metallica has reached stratospheric success. When Kirk Hammett was in his younger days, he was in a band called Exodus. All these are rock metal bands, look them up. Kirk Hammett wanted to elevate his game. So he sought to take lessons from another amazing guitar player by the name of Joe Satriani. Now, Satriani is a legend. He's currently playing with his own band and Sammy Hagar from Van Halen. And they're doing Van Halen tribute stuff and they're doing some of their own things. And they're really kicking ass. Now, Satriani, in their first lesson, went to Hammett and said, laid it all down and said, you better know all this stuff by the next lesson or we're repeating and there's nothing worth doing, right? Okay, great. Remember, Kirk Hammett is in a mega band right now. He is the, I guess, maybe rhythm lead guitarist of Metallica. Metallica is still huge. They're still big. They're selling out stadiums. And these guys, and Kirk Hammett's probably in his 60s. So with that being said, Kirk Hammett said, okay, I'm going to plus one that. And then I'm going to actually, now I meet with Satriani twice a week. So wanting to do something and then doing something, having that ruthless dedication and persistence and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating is the art of success, in my opinion. It's not skill. It's not talent. It's repetition. So now you heard my story, expand on that. And then I want to go a little bit deeper into when we talk about ruthless dedication, ruthless. I'm going to talk about, we all choose to do the same things anyway. If we reprogram ourselves, we can actually code for more to be more successful. So go ahead and expand on that, Jake.
Yep. So first of all, if you have to go look up who is Metallica, you might not be my people anyway. This may not be your podcast. I grew up on it, man. I totally grew up. Ride the Lightning. I mean, I used to have there's a version of me and some pictures of me as a kid that people just would blow them away. Like I used to have the jean jacket with the concert t-shirt welded into the back and the torn concert t-shirt and the chains and the long hair and all the cool headbanger 80s hairband look that we all had. It was great. I loved that look at the time. Probably couldn't pull it off at this time. It's entirely too much of this gray stuff going on. But there, yeah, to Mike's point. So here's, and so I play, right? I am not a guitar. I would not say I'm a guitar player. I play guitar. Like there's a little bit different, a little connotation. I have a friend of mine in Alaska, Ken, that is amazing. I mean, he just, everything that he does on any guitar just makes you sick. He's so good at it. Right. Just one of those people that just absolutely riffs, just absolutely spectacular. And so there's an interview. There's a couple interviews for these bigger guitar players that people will go in and talk to. So Metallica is probably, we'll keep playing with that one. And even Exodus, and I like you bringing that up and bringing up some old school songs. But when you're talking about Metallica, they have some of the most recognizable guitar riffs ever. plain and simple. So, I mean, the Rolling Stones has some, AC/DC has some. If you hear the, you, it's play that, it's, what's that, what's the name of that? Name that tune, right? You can, you know that song in the first five notes. So here's what, you know, these guys will be on tour. They have a tour list, and it's a sheet of paper that gets taped to the stage where they got to come out. They walk out on the stage, they hit their mark, right? I want to be really clear about what their performance looks like. It's not the, I'm just really good at this and I'm just organically doing all this stuff. They walk out on stage, there's a tape mark on the stage. Like, remember that X marks the spot? That's because actors and stage presence need an X on the stage to walk out and hit their mark. That's what it's about. And there's a sheet of paper. There is literally, their song list is on the stage in front of them. We're going to play, first thing we're going to play is One. Like, you got to know where it's going to start. That song starts with a very iconic, noticeable, recognizable guitar riff. Very, very clear, right? It absolutely does. These guys will play this song during concerts. They'll play, you know, what's the average tour at this point? Like 100 shows is what the...
Could be more, could be less. That's how artists really make their money now.
That's how they're making their money, right? During these shows, and they always have. So they're going to play that riff 100 times while on tour. They will practice the riff when they're not playing the riff, because people are going to know it, right? So the thing that happens when they get off a tour, these guys, they got to put their guitar away for a couple minutes, right? They've got literally just have to, like, oos fa ba. They just got to, okay, I got to relax for a minute. But like, the next tour is going to be 3 months away. What are they doing? They will immediately pick up the guitar 3 months ahead of time, and they will practice that riff over and over and over and over and over. They will probably play it 10,000 times. You know, could he, you know, could Kamet put that guitar down, not play that riff for 10 years and pick it up and be able to play it? And people would recognize it, but they'd probably pick up that he doesn't have his chops, right? He hasn't played it in a while. He's got to show up at such an extremely high level, because that's our expectation. We roll in as an audience member and we pay these ticket prices that are currently out there, which when I first started going to concerts, they were like $19 is what it cost me to go. First time I saw Metallica was at Monsters of Rock in Mile High Stadium. And they played with, it was this huge outdoor venue, and it was 12 hours of metal bands. It was awesome. Van Halen was there, Megadeth, Slayer, Mastodon was there.
Mastodon, dude. You're unearthing, bro.
Oh, I know. It was a huge event. Metallica was there. That was the first live concert I saw them at. And it was 12 hours out in the sun in July. And I loved every minute of it, standing out there in a black leather jacket, just burning to death. But it was awesome. But I have expectations. Even at $19, like, I wanted to hear that riff in its perfection. And that's what I would expect to hear at that point. We totally do. And the current concert prices, I'm going to roll in there and I'm going to know if they're not prepared. Like, if they're banging around and they don't have their kit set up and they miss their marks, I'm going to see it. I'm going to notice it. So from a discipline factor, these guys are wildly disciplined. You can look at them and they do some of the interviews that you see them on and you're like, man, how is he together? Well, he's not practicing interviews.
There's a reason why these people are at the top of their game and keeping at the top of the game.
Because it's all they do. They are relentless.
I have another one for you. So number one, I knew you were a guitar player. That's why I went this way today. Just give you a little nod so you can speak on that and feel good about yourself. Secondly was... if you guys ever get the moment and you can find it, I had no idea where to find this, but there's another band... obscure references to some of you, not so obscure to others. There's a band called Pearl Jam and Pearl Jam 20. And they were, you could see them from place to place. So they were currently, now this is key in business and life. They were on a tour. I don't remember what album, but they were taking a bus up the Jersey Turnpike and they were in a tour bus and two of the members were in one of the tour buses, and I think Better and Stone Gossard or Mike McGrath, I can't remember who. And they were strumming Daughter, which was going to be on the next album. So in the interim of going from place to place, you know, and to boot, sometimes you'll create something and do something, but it's just not the time to deploy it. It's not, doesn't go on that album, doesn't go on that list. It doesn't get, if you're a comedian, you know, you're not in that set list. It doesn't go on your act, right? And when we talk about, and this is a great sort of way to maybe segue, and we'll dovetail, we'll come back, we'll switch back. When we talk about, like, I see a lot of the people in weight loss and in life, how they don't want to, they want more choices, and they don't like repetition. And, oh, I mean, I don't want to eat the same foods. I don't want to keep eating egg whites and this and that. And hemming and hawing about things to eat. I'd love to eat my bread. I love to do this. I love to do that. But what I think the clarity needs to be is, did you realize, like, when these rockers go out and do their thing, they're sort of repeating the same songs, different order every night.
Not even a different order.
Sure, we'll add for Toronto, we'll add Forbes Your Things. For DC, we'll add something else. Maybe I'll talk shit on the current president. California, we'll do something else, right? Like, for the home crowd, we're doing a little bit different. But for the most part, it's the same songs reorganized. Now, for the same thing, let's say weight loss and health, you want choices? You want to eat your bread? You want to do this bullshit? What you're really saying is you want to do it all the time. You want to make that a primary choice. And you don't want anyone or anything to tell you otherwise, but you want a different result. You're fooling yourself. In other words, the way you've been doing it has been giving you the result that you want. It's also kind of like saying sometimes you go to one of these bands and they come out with some new stuff. I know you're used to the old stuff, but it's kind of like, I don't know about that. Without being, you know, again, the Stones, though, I will say, they put out a song not too long ago, pretty awesome. Brand new music from a bunch of senior citizens that are literally rolling around. My son even said to me, I was listening to the Stones working out, and he was like, did they re-record that? I go, nope, that's the original version of Hang Fire right there, buddy. I know it sounds brand new because, you know, Jagger brings the energy, but it's what they've, that's original. He was amazed, and he's 15. So let's unpack that. Let's unpack choices. I mean, think about it. Don't you eat the same 15 things?
Pretty much.
I'm going to say 15. Maybe you'll go to 20. Don't you eat the same 20 things?
Yeah, pretty much. I have, and that's the truth of it. I'm going to go way off script on this one. There's a guy by the name of I know you're really surprised. There's a guy by the name of Richard Prenicke. One of my mentor superheroes in life. And I'm going to force everybody to go look at him. So there's a documentary series called Alone in the Wilderness. So Richard Prenicke takes off at the age of, I think he was 52, when he decided he's going to move to Alaska, move to Twin Lakes in the middle of nowhere, and he's going to hand build his log cabin and spend the next 35 years living alone in Alaska. Totally living off grid, off the land, but his ability, his discipline to do the things is absolutely amazing. But one of the things that, you know, we bring up is what he ate. He makes a specific point in one of his journal entries that animals don't vary their diet. You know, caribou eat the exact same thing all the time. Squirrels eat the exact same thing all the time. Elk eat the same thing. Bears eat the same thing. They eat the exact same thing. And he made the reference of, well, they don't vary their diet. Why should I vary mine? And they're very healthy. They're incredibly healthy. They don't vary their diet. They eat the exact same thing. So he literally had like two meals that he ate. And that's what he ate for 35 years. Right. So that's why I bring that up. But he did it for the purpose of watching what nature did. What nature did. I mean, there are no deer walking through the forest going, gee, where should I go to eat today? Right. Where should I walk to? What should I eat? Should I, you know, no, they're not doing that. They're like, this is my diet. This is what I eat. And they aren't encumbered by choice. There's another one. I'll give you another example. Guy by the name of Gary. We talk about him all the time. He's a billionaire real estate guy. Big red brand. He had said something at one point, and I watched this for years. And I didn't understand it. His wardrobe, He always, to me, it always appeared he wore the same pair of pants, the same t-shirt, and the same jacket, and the same tennis shoes. Like that, I'm like, okay, that's just what he wears on stage. And he actually brought it up one day, and he says, okay, for everybody that thinks I wear the exact same thing every day, I do. I wear the exact same thing. I have five pairs of each one of these things. I don't vary my wardrobe because I've made the conscious decision to take that choice away because I have a finite amount of brain power. I don't want to burn quality brain power on what worrying about what I'm going to wear. I get up, I put on pants, I put on a shirt, I put on socks, I put on shoes, I put on a jacket. They're the exact same. I move on with my day. Like he, whether you set it out or you plan it, so that he made that very specific decision to go down that route. The desire to have choice is that desire to have free will. We're willing to do it, but it's a dangerous tool too, right? You can look at nature as a, they aren't really given much choice on what they get to do on a day-to-day basis. They have to get up, they have to drink, they have to eat, go to the bathroom, they have to sleep, and they have to not get eaten by predators. That's their job. That's how they exist. Yeah. You might say, well, that's super boring. Well, now if you say it's super boring, well, you're giving yourself the option to go have choice.
It's super boring until you're starving. I will say, you know, in our feast and forage days of human beings, you know, granted, wildlife might not eat the same wildlife, right? They're not necessarily shopping for new wildlife like birds versus squirrels if you're some sort of leopard or whatever you eat. But, you know, it's the same thing with food in our ancestral era. When you're sort of rolling around the countryside and you're trying to find things, you might eat the same thing for 10 meals. You might not, right? You might kill a deer and eat it over the course of a week or 3 days and have to go out and kill something else, right? So it's this sort of expansion, contraction. And you want to talk about going hungry. People back in the day went hours without eating. It's like, shit, I'm starving. I got to figure out what I'm going to kill out here. And I've got to prepare, like, think about it for a second. If you're some sort of frontiersman, and this goes in for business too. If you're some sort of frontiersman and you're out there and no one's come before you. It's like, all right, I'm gonna grow some vegetables. Man, this is awesome. All of a sudden the winter comes and you don't have any food left. Shit, man, I better figure out next summer, if I live that long, how to stockpile hordes of big things, right? Like potatoes and vegetables and dry the jerk, the meat, and the beef, and doing all that. Same thing goes in business and life. The dividends you put in on a regular basis, refining the boring, outsourcing the boring, means you're not going to self-sabotage.
But it goes back to the guitar riff. It goes back to the exact same space that we started in this. There's no variation of one that you're willing to buy off on. One needs to be one all the time, every time. It needs to be the same. You'll know if there's a variation. It's not that they're having a choice. Are they bored with playing that riff? Could be. However, they're doing it. Like that's the path to mastery thing. So if you go to your weight loss piece, and we talk about that a little bit, it's no different, right? You might get bored. Could happen. However, what you're currently doing in your excitement and your decision, that ain't working. But you're expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So you've got to change it if you expect a different result.
So there's two schools of thought. When I'm back in the day, I was in a position where I was president of a 2,000 member coaching business. And that's not my numbers. You can go on the website and they have on this thing 2,000 members. And I was president for most of the time that number was put on the website. You know, that's my fact check, is that number. That's my fact check, first of all. Second of all, in the course of acquiring anywhere from 1 to 2,000 members, I got pitched just about every side hustle, second business, mega opportunity possible. And the one thing, the discernment that I said before, because I respect everybody, at least for the first few minutes, I respect where they're coming from and trying to do what they're doing. Can I see myself doing this? Can I see myself falling in love with this and doing the behavior that it takes to grow this every single day? Now, that comes down to that discipline of, do I want to learn the guitar riff or do I want to not be able to play guitar? But that also says, if I want to fall in love with the way I'm doing things, then yeah, okay, I'll go down that road. If I want to make my 5 phone calls a day and try to get you to buy my supplements and then distribute my supplements or sell this or do that, can I see myself doing that behavior? And the truth is, that's why I'm at where I'm at now, with you, with us, with this whole thing. That's one of the reasons why I moved on, because there's no impact I'd rather have than sharing the knowledge that we share, coaching the people that we coach, and distributing information the way we distribute. So when I talk to you about when you coach your executives and your clients and wouldn't you say number one pitfall is people wanting to have this strategic variation but not know why and deviating from the basics? Is that a big pitfall you run into a lot?
Well, you absolutely hit on it. It's the, am I going to love this? Am I going to love the process of getting there? But I got to know where it's going to be. It's the bigger why question. Yeah,
where is there, right?
Yeah, where is there? What's my just cause? You know, those have heard me talk about Simon Sinek before. What's my just cause? What am I going to die on the cross for? What am I going to starve to death in the potato famine for? What am I willing to do? That's a great piece. So that's another one of, there's a great piece for people to look up. Go look up the food stores in World War II about it's really cool. And you can actually see the reference in one of Simon Sinek's second books. I'll think of it. Sorry, lost my train of thought on that. But and I'll own that. Like, I was just going down a totally side hill there. So when we get back to the why, we get back to what is my just cause? What do I love about doing it? What is a part of the process? Like, if you don't love what you're doing now, do you change? Could be, maybe. And what do you love about it? You know, there's, I was on stage with somebody not too long ago that wrote things differently. And she came from a perspective of, when you write your goals, write them romantically, write them of what you love about them. Be so like, write it like like an ugly romance novel. And it was absolutely brilliant the way that she had you go through this, because it made you fall in love with a thing, right? You could talk about, you know, oh God, I got to go to the gym and I got to do leg day and it's cardio and you can have that attitude versus it's the, you know what? After I get done on leg day, I love to stand in front of the mirror and take the little photos because, man, my butt looks fantastic. I look really good. I love the way that I look. You're going to have a different romantic perspective about, you know, man, I really want to go to the gym now because I want to take that picture. It's sometimes just as simple as that. That's the stuff that I tend to coach on. It's not usually these magnanimous moves, these huge changes. Sometimes it's just simply a perspective and a mindset shift around what you need to fall in love with, what you need to do, why you want to do it in the first place. You know, a lot of people are, you know, we go back to the weight loss thing. We bring this up a lot simply because, well, Mike's in that space quite frequently. You know, he does a lot of training still. And it's an easy reference, right? It's an easy one for most people to get because there's at no point, I would be stunned if there was anybody ever in Western society that didn't at some point look in the mirror and go, man, I'd like to lose, I need to shave a little bit off. I'd be shocked if they had not had that conversation in their head at some point. So it's an easy reference for everybody. Why do you want, what's the purpose that you want to lose the weight? Is it I need to drop that 5 pounds because it'll make my joints feel better. I need to shave that 10 pounds because I intend to finish a marathon this year. Is it I'm getting, you know, easy. This is an easy one. We see it all the time. I'm getting married in 6 months. I want to make sure that I fit in that dress and look epic, or fit into that tux that I don't have to wear a corset myself.
Yeah.
So I can look super, super cool. There's a goal. There's a purpose. There's a drive. There's a thing that, again, you can point at the end of the map and say, that's why I'm doing the thing I'm doing. So when you're making these disciplinary decisions on, maybe I do need to limit my diet. Maybe I'm just going to eat nothing but salad every day for the next 6 weeks because I've got a bodybuilding competition and I got to drop to no body fat kind of thing. It's decisions. It's a choice, but you've got to know why you're making the choice.
And you got to just consistently make the choices. I mean, that's the deal, right?
Yeah. The choice becomes not a choice.
You could sit there and go, well, if I didn't eat this today, should I eat that tomorrow? I didn't do this today, should I do that tomorrow? It's kind of like,
don't negotiate with yourself.
You got to be vigilant. I mean, yeah. Hey, listen, man, we're running out of road here. We could go on for hours on this nonsense, but we got to break. All right, everybody. Well, on behalf of Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liversi. This is Total Disruption. Thanks for tuning in. Now it's your turn to disrupt. We'll see you next time, everyone.